Hi, this is Julie Lunetta, and you're listening to the commentary for Second Shift, Season 1, Episode 8, Trust Me. And joining me here are...
Christina Milanovic, playing Zana and Chianti.
And I'm John, one of the writers.
I'm Mike Hunter, and I play Mike Archer.
And here we have the episode that takes place at the same time as Episode 107. We split the cast.
Yep. So oh, the Sunny D... references here.
Yes.
Big jug of purple stuff.
And if you do, there are many food stands.
Yeah, this is the essentially colloquially known as the torture episode. And I remember Andrea being like really psyched to hear, you know, how this would sound and everything else. Like she kept describing this as like my, you know, like Archon would get a Jack Bauer moment.
That's what she.
Which is just, and I really had no idea what the heck she was talking about until I actually got the episode and then actually kind of just
a chunk of this episode was something she'd thought up, probably about the time we were writing episode 4 or 5, and she wanted this to happen, and so. Yeah, we
to awaken Meek tonight.
Made it happen. Actually, Andrea even wrote a rough outline for this episode because she did have an idea that she wanted to happen.
And, like an explosion.
And then from that rough outline, we changed that outline and made a rather different episode. But the point is, we did what she wanted us to do.
If anyone desires to find you.
Archon just said, trust me, I think, for the first time in the episode.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You should keep a count.
Catchphrase.
Thankfully limited to this episode.
We are supposed to do anything. We do it.
Yeah. God, I mean, yeah, Christina, how many times did we like read through that scene?
A lot.
Just to rehearse it to get the dynamics right.
And yeah, a lot.
It was hard.
Well, thanks.
Three or four times.
Certainly.
In a special separate session.
Umbra.
Yeah.
Wish me luck.
Oh, fair
Umbra.
Luck, Shay.
Oh, Umbra.
Your girl.
Isn't that Becky?
Yeah, it's Becky. It's the voice of Umbra. Talking to herself.
Hey, Shauna.
Oh, jeez, don't sneak up on me like that.
I didn't.
Mike's lines in the episode.
Hey! That's great.
Yeah, before everybody else ships off.
She hates me and runs away every time I get near her. Speaking of...
Mike.
Well, it's kind of true. I just want to apologize for making a jerk of myself at breakfast yesterday.
Well, there she is, about to go into Zana's. Here's your chance.
Okay. Hey!
Keep walking, Gimpy. So now you actually get to witness the scene that is only made reference to in the previous episode. Because, you know, people wanted that kind of closure.
Whatever. I think she's just savoring her righteous indignation. Seriously, she's almost glowing.
Catherine has her reasons, Mike, and they're usually good ones.
Well, plus it's... righteous indignation is always fun.
Better after a day to herself. Now help me catch the stupid goat.
This is another odd feature of this episode. We bookended it kind of with Shauna. The majority of the episode is Catherine and Archon, but we don't.
Only a few moments passed, Kate.
You are just in time to help us clean. Here is a broom.
All right, but isn't your shop closed today? I thought you were going fishing, Zana.
It is, and I am, but duty before recreation.
Sorry, Arbor.
What? I've never been a big sports fan. Also, I kind of wanted a day to rest. And I figured Sean and Mike would like a day together without me around. I don't want to be a third wheel.
If you do not mind my saying, I have never really understood their friendship. There is a peculiar undertone to it.
Well, I told you Sean and I roomed together freshman year, right?
Yes.
We didn't really become close for a while. I had my own stuff to deal with at that point.
As heard in episode 11.5. Partially, at least.
Hung out a lot. Something happened, I don't know what, and Mike stopped coming around for a while. After a few months, I guess whatever issues they had just got swept under the...
Haha, and she's sweeping. It's a metaphor! Or
no, it's not.
Yet Mike does not see her as a sister.
Exactly.
Oh. Bucks in Law 5, Valo, but we are not open today.
Apologies, I have business with
Is that Paul?
Yeah, that is.
I think it's Paul pitch shifted down.
It's gotta be.
Yeah, Becky's husband, Paul, who also plays Dark Anani, was portraying whichever character this is. This was not
Ribati.
This was Ribati?
Yeah.
Yes, this is Ribati.
What was that?
That is something I wish to discuss with you.
Yeah?
Swear to me that you will not speak of this with the others, Kaith.
Sure.
I am serious, Kaith. I only confide in you because I feel we have become...
Yep, that won't last long.
All done.
Yeah. In truth, I was simply using her for my own ends. No, that's not actually true. I mean, that actually was, I think, a little bit of a debate. That, I mean, no, but at least I remember sort of trying to figure out exactly what was actually going on, given, you know, what goes on.
Yeah.
You know, because Archon is...
somewhat broader than that. Besides,
she manipulates people, and I mean, she manipulates Kaith into helping her. But I don't think of her as a manipulative person. I think of her as, you know, she's, in a lot of ways, she's so manipulated by, well, her parents mostly, that I don't think she's necessarily capable of doing it from first principles. I mean, she does it in this episode, you know, because it's a mission that she has to take on. She, under the guise of I'm doing this for Zana, she, you know, is actually doing work for her parents and Catherine's helping. You know, later on in the season, again, you know, because of her parents, she betrays, you know, Mike, Catherine, and Shauna.
I get it. We have something.
But I don't think this is the sort of thing that she would necessarily, you know, all things being equal, have thought up on her own.
But I have been doing some research.
She's not a
and with your help,
bad person. She's just a, not necessarily as good a person as everyone thinks she is.
Yeah.
She's kind of
next in the chain of command.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah, in fact, I don't even remember if this was official backstory or if I just sort of came up with this or whatever. My impression was that Archon's parents, Lorena Lark and
Alexa
Lark, you know, have worked for the Legion for a while, and I think the backstory was something like, or at least the imagined backstory, it was something like, you know, something went wrong, a deal went sour, and basically they offered up Archon as sort of payment or you know, some way to make it right, and so basically, you know, Archon's a pawn in the whole thing. I mean, that's how I remember sort of the backstory. I don't remember if that was actually...
I mean, we've never said it explicitly because we kind of don't have to, but...
No, well, yeah, actually, especially now and
I mean, that was kind of the idea. It's one way or another. She's made to do these things by her parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, since her parents never really became active characters. I mean, a couple brief appearances.
Nice.
We never really had to bring that stuff into the foreground.
Well, there you go. You know, bonus background that you would not have gotten otherwise if you hadn't donated to us, or you know, otherwise, I guess this would probably end up on a CD set or some point. You know?
And so here we are.
You are better than other people now because you know that.
Right. Well, ain't that the truth?
Well, this is as good a place as any to cast. Stand back a step. I would not like to catch you.
Yeah, we had some debate about that
fishing
reel sound.
Would they have
a fishing
reel?
Yeah.
I think eventually we just decided to use it because we needed a sound effect there that sounded like fishing.
Yeah, that everybody would know
yeah.
was fishing.
I mean, fly fishing just sounds kind of like, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know,
it's not real exciting.
There's no sound effect.
Just using a drop line, you know, there's no sound. So,
talk to your friends about your problems.
Cheating a little, I guess.
You are cool.
Maybe it's a recent invention.
They've got springs, what?
Yeah. Springs and all that other good stuff you need for a reel that I don't actually know.
Yeah, I know.
And though I do not mind in the slightest, helping the three of you has been costly, even considering the pot.
Zana's place is a slave shop a sweatshop.
I know them. No, I had plenty.
Well, you know, there's no minimum wage.
Yeah.
Indeed, so.
And they get food. I'm assuming they don't have to pay
for
food.
Yeah, they get room and board. Come on.
Well, we're assuming they get room.
Oh,
I don't know. They don't have to.
Yeah, I don't know. I just always think of it as sort of like the company store setup where basically you're theoretically paid like a certain amount, but then food comes out, board comes out, you know, a certain percentage of like the repairs from like the first episode or two.
Yeah. Right.
Especially Mike,
And then all the, you know, blowing out the window.
Look at his crippling debt.
Yeah. And of course, you know, that interest builds up while you're in a coma.
That it does.
There's a good spot around the lake.
Yeah, I've got some stuff to take care of anyway. I have
actually
fun.
Actually, it's on Crew's interest on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Don't worry too hard.
Well, you know, she doesn't have the franchises yet at this point in the season, so, you know, she makes her money on the side as a loan shark.
So, yeah, that whole scene was basically Zana accidentally guilt tripping Catherine into doing this whole thing.
Yeah.
You cannot know how much this means to me.
Zana has no idea what the subtext is.
Yeah. She's just being honest in her Zana way.
Yeah.
I understand. So, what now?
First, I must retrieve.
Oh, yes.
More stuff in the cellar. It's just a lie,
yes.
As we see it.
It's true.
So
yeah,
11.
That's right.
A headscarf as well. Perhaps a touch of beautifying powder. It would be good to disguise yourself, though not too obviously.
What about you?
I have additional clothing stored in the closet upstairs. You never know when a bad storm will make the journey.
Yes, that is it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Meet you back here in a few minutes?
Indeed.
These excuses are all very well practiced, I think.
Yeah, this was a debate, because Andrea had this whole, like, scene in her mind where they're following him, and Catherine's got a bow, and she, like, shoots an arrow into the narrow edge of the door, and it, like, catches it open, and then I said no, because, and that became Catherine's explanation.
They'll just call the Lawatuan on us.
If she's got a weapon and a break-in, you know, that's bad.
We will be breaking and entering, and they'll have every right to get us busted.
Yeah, that's the rule, really. If you're breaking and entering, you don't bring a loaded gun, because that's just going to get you shot by the gun of the person who's living there.
Yeah, or at least it'll bring up
or,
an armed
robbery. It becomes an armed robbery, which is so much worse than regular robbery.
If O.J. Simpson had listened to he could have learned.
I've never seen you wearing a dress before.
Interesting and topical. These commentaries, except by the time this comes out, it'll be horribly untopical.
I admire your resolve.
There's nothing to admire. I just loathe dresses. You, on the alternate hand, look at...
Yeah, actually... Andrea may be annoying me for mentioning this, but the whole thing about, you know, Archon not looking dresses and everything else, there was some talk at one point about Archon being a lesbian.
Yeah.
And... you know, and it's, you know, whatever. But Andrea was absolutely against it, not because, not that she has anything against any, you know, queer people or anything else, but she didn't want the sort of, quote, token lesbian to be the one who goes out and tortures people.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, if you're going to have...
Initially, she didn't have a problem with the idea of Archon being a lesbian. In fact, it was kind of her idea. There was going to be this whole gender subtext in some earlier incarnations of the show before it ever actually got started, but you definitely did not want the evil lesbian character.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is quite understandable.
Does not imbibe too much Piarula and fall asleep outside again.
Seriously?
Oh, the stories I could tell you. That reminds me, would you deliver a message to her? The guap begin running soon. She is welcome to go up to...
Setting up the...
setting up her...
My wife's family will be visiting, and so I will not be using it.
Such decisiveness.
Yes, before sunrise yesterday.
That is fantastic. Surprising a little, but most welcome. Is he in pain? Able to move?
He is in pain, but I don't see him well enough.
I must come by in the next day or two to verify his well-being myself. Until then, I hope he does not try to... The body can be extremely fragile.
And right now, like on the other side of town.
He's getting the crap beat out of him.
You two look as if you have errands to run as well. Stay clear of trouble.
Fai gorondo cha, Targanani.
Fai en gorondo cha.
I forgot, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Courteous goodbye.
Something like that.
I don't know.
It is a fish. They spawn in the lakes near Dranmer. They're quite
Brandon
delicious.
Knows a lot more Char and Drain than I.
Makes more
and
sense,
of course,
yeah. Let us make haste and
the bookkeeper for that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. All discussion of the guap. I just love the name.
Char and Drain
It sounds like, you know, great onomatopoeia for, you know, what it sounds like when the fish flops onto the shore. Guap.
The single word that Mike says.
Yes, guap is a fish, by the way, in case anyone never picked that up. It's quite possible.
If they didn't, then what do they think spawning near
Drenthe? Yeah.
Well, you know, the seekers of truth have to keep themselves occupied somehow.
Going to continue speaking and...
Oh, Archon, over there. Is that him?
Where?
Over there, with the brown cloak.
He must...
that bakery. Yes, yes, that is Rebati. What?
For the spy, Archon is apparently not very observant.
Just look like you were doing what you were supposed to and keep talking.
Yes, Archon knows far too much about following people around, looking normal. She's kind of funny since she's the one who suggests bringing the weapon.
Yeah.
But I guess she's never done a B&E before.
I do not have time for in the week. Let's go.
Well, I think the point was also, you know, while she does what she does with Chianti, basically having you know, Catherine like watch the door or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody comes in, shoot them.
You know. Nice. I had other friends for a while, but they were older. In high school, most of my friends are older than I. My last couple of years there were kind of lonely. What is this? Do you call it? I do not know. I suppose the pattern is a little too much. Try this one. Oh!
Good, they no longer have to make conversation.
So, what about Jareth? How does he fit into everything?
He and Phasma were raised in the same town, roughly a day's journey from here. Phasma's older brother, Boric.
This exposition was actually... was one of those things we thought we had put some of the stuff in earlier, and we got to this point and realized that we hadn't. And it quickly, became all right. That's a good small talk.
Yeah, here's the family tree.
She's never been the same since the death of his father.
The basic stuff. I mean, a lot of it too. We had made up by this point, but yeah.
Was this
the stuff about Pork and stuff like that?
Pork, the name Pork. I think wasn't that one where we like didn't. Am I thinking of that, or was there was another name that I remember, like, sitting around, like, in the recording studio the day we were supposed to be recording the episode, like, figure out, what should it be, and we knew it needed to be two syllables, and, you know, let's try this and try the other one.
Fork was a tricky one, because the name
Mike would do.
It made it tricky to figure out
what
it could be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, basic shopping conversation.
You knew it had to start with Poe, because of, you know, the Tristan on
Poe,
Loxthorn Poe. Being Fesmer's parents.
Oh, this is Zach.
Oh yeah.
The fan cameo.
Yeah. Zach is a friend of Lily's. They went to college together, I believe. High school. You know, Zach came in and did the baker.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, actually almost played the Herald. I believe he had some sort of death metal voice that people seemed to like.
Death metal voice, right. And it was a debate over that, and we decided not to go this way.
Yeah.
This, I believe, this was done at Brandon's in the studio
in
Brandon's
basement.
The magical studio that Brandon found in his basement one day.
Oh my god! Yeah, feel free to tell that story before we get to the torture scene.
We're looking for a place to record, because we had stopped using professional studios.
Because they either sucked, were too expensive, or
they're
both.
They're way too expensive for, and more than we need, and less than we need at the same time.
Right.
So we were looking for a place, and we bounced around a couple people's houses, and they were not quite adequate. And then Brandon was down in his basement one day, getting something out of a box, and he noticed this room in the back of the basement that like he had never looked into. Because he thought it was like some store space from his upstairs neighbor, and so he opened it up, and there's a recording studio. There's this whole foam-lined room with a drum kit and stuff like that that the upstairs neighbor, who's a musician, had for his stuff that he never used and was just using as a storeroom. So Brandon talked to the neighbor, and you know, then from this episode on through the first season. Was all recorded in Brandon's basement.
Aside from the extensive lists of chores they gave me.
And then he moved.
Yeah. Brandon. You know, that and the asbestos.
Oh, yeah.
and the really angry roommates.
It was pretty much a it was this pretty sweet deal, but yeah, it was
a little
an imposition on the three roommates that Brandon had.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Also quite hot, as roommate serves, because it had no ventilation whatsoever.
Yeah, it was great. So, you know, we'd do a scene and then everybody would like run out and gasp air.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember the ill-fated attempt to film it.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, that's... Yeah, because, you know, you're in a small, sealed room,
right? Yeah.
And adding hot lights is always a good idea.
That's the key thing to do, is not regular lights, but, like, those high-power road lights.
Yeah.
I just fire those up in there.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why we you know, would have not...
The best part is the whole thing came out bright yellow-orange because of the padding on the walls.
Yeah,
and
it's
all...
unusable. Which, I don't know, I think we should release that at some point. Just be like, you know, don't expect anything, like extra blooper footage or something.
Just like ridiculous yellow.
That'd be great. And we all have jaundice. This is what we do for you people.
Huh? He is leaving without his bag. Cover your face.
Ah, here it comes.
Oh, the breaking into the house comes up.
The front door is bolted. We will go around the back. Here. Lift me so that I can see in the windows.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ah, it appears to be vacant. I am going in. I will unlock the back door for you.
Okay.
Lift me up a little more.
I think I climbed somebody's back window.
Oh, okay.
Alright. Super.
There we...
Yurana?
Yes. I am fine.
If this was a cartoon, that scene would have been hilarious.
A little more of a drop than she expected.
Yeah.
Nice kitchen. Hey, this is just an ordinary house.
Yes, I was not prepared for this.
For what?
Look around. Perhaps we can find something important. Records, ledgers, anything. I will attempt to locate his bag.
Are you certain this is the place?
Of course. We saw him enter, did we not?
But what if this is just his house?
It likely is. However, that does not mean we are in the wrong place.
So great, now we are breaking into somebody's home. This feels very wrong.
Of course it feels wrong. Our actions are criminal, but our cause is just.
That is a pretty fine distinction.
That is the tale of my life.
Ain't that the truth?
So we might as well do what we came for. But if you cannot overcome your scruples and act for the...
So what are we looking for?
Anything, especially documents, though. And keep your eyes wide for hiding places, loose bricks and the like.
All right. Let's get to work. What was that?
I did not hear... Pinsa Wig! Conceal yourself behind this counter.
Boron Bui.
There's Christina.
Who's that? The contact?
I do not know.
Boron Bui? Is someone there? I swear I heard something. Tianti, you're becoming over fearful.
She's coming this way.
I will hit her with this. Try to catch her so she does not make much noise.
What is that? I thought we said...
Shh!
What's up? Oh, it's so much... Stick?
Pain stick?
Why? What the...
It's a pain stick! Yeah, I remember all the discussion we had about, like, what it would actually sound like.
Yeah, because the sound effect we wrote was that.
Yes.
Because I wanted to denote the fact that there would be sort of a charge-up sound, you know, to it. Not just a zap, it's a wazap. But what that means, so I think, like, 4 or 5 people made a bunch of different possible sound effects of a wazap. I made one using, like... feedback and static, and Lexi made some using her piano, and I think we ultimately used something based on what
the three will be very fortunate if no one from
did. Her sound
okay
effect.
Fine, but I will not hurt her.
Of course not.
Ah yes, and blackmailing. Was that blackmailing Catherine with mom waking up Mike, or
I don't know if we did.
No, I think that's later.
Okay.
And let me warn you, I am losing my patience. Who are you, and how do you know Rebati?
I told you the truth. I am Chianti. I am Rebati's wife. This is our house. Believe me, we are attempting to begin a family.
Oh, yeah, and that comes back later.
Yeah, it does.
Well, this whole episode is mirrored later, and I think it's...
F8.
Is it 208?
It's 208.
Yeah, so every season the 8th episode is the torture episode.
I have to write it next season.
Yeah, we just need to have a 3rd season just to confirm that. Yeah. third season, everything's happy, and then the eighth episode, you know,
there's torture.
There is plenty of my hunters over there. Take it and go. You will find nothing else of worth in this.
Do not play the fool with me. You know the money I am talking about.
There's a nuclear bomb in Los Angeles. Oh, sorry. That was a little too much Shaq Bauer, I suppose.
I do not know what you are looking for.
Brandon, I think Brandon was directing this, yeah?
Yeah.
Brandon's idea here is like, basically, Chianti is sort of being gradually broken. She starts out being sort of outraged. What the hell, these people broke into my house? Like, you know, good grief. And then as it goes on, she basically...
Senjen.
Feels like you are attempting to begin a family. You expect that to earn my sympathy? That you're trying to bring another being into this world that you can mold to your depraved lifestyle?
Yeah, Archon's not bitter about what her family's done to her at all.
She's not predisposed at all.
Yeah. I think that line is where most of the backstory
Yeah, no, that's very clear, much the idea of why she does this is she's transposing everything else. Because Andrea's outline just said Archon goes Jack Bauer on Ray Botti. Chianti was actually an invention that I came up with when I was writing this, because I wrote a good chunk of this episode. It just didn't work, really, that she was torturing Ray Botti, that it wasn't horrible enough. it was too straightforward. It wasn't believable that it could be this long sort of abuse of this person to get the answers, you know. So it would
here,
make more sense.
Check carefully. There may be some
his
clues.
Wife, someone who
what are you...
may or may not know
Senjen
anything.
Senjen, you don't hurt her. What if she's innocent?
She is not. She is hiding it, but I can tell. Do not worry. I am merely attempting to scare her.
Well, you are scaring me, Archon. I don't like this. This isn't you.
Well, maybe it is.
One must do unpleasant things in order to accomplish a desirable result. Have you searched upstairs?
No.
Please do so. But do not fret, Kaith. I will only do what is necessary.
In other words, I'm getting her out of the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, going through the scene, and like John was saying and everything else, it was very much transferred to her parents.
In place of the money. Is it not?
The scene, at least for me, was based very much on the sense that, you know, yes, Archon is doing a mission for her parents, but this is somebody who means nothing to me, and I have a lot of built-up anger around this whole thing, so it all comes out on you. And just, you know, if you know, Archon wasn't so personally involved in this, it would not have been nearly as creepy.
I used it to incapacitate you earlier, but do you know what it can do?
No.
It is most unpleasant. Let me tell you a secret.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun to write. the dark stuff can be, you know, once you get on a roll, once I get on a roll with it, at least, you know, just sort of
describe what it
flows. It's a lot harder sometimes to write the comedy, because, you know, a joke is it's a lot more work to do comedy than it is drama, and this is definitely pure drama here, you know.
For too long, it might leave some bruising.
It's like just put myself in the two characters' mindsets and flow.
At the lower settings. See, you.
I think I was listening to the Talking Heads at the time, which was sort of incongruous to the to the scene, but...
The more potential a person has, the more pain they can cause. And, not to be immodest, I am quite strongly...
God, I'm creeping myself out listening to this.
It's all right.
I delivered a burst at the highest...
Actually, though, speaking to the to counter too, so to a degree, saying me mentioning this part was kind of fun to write. This episode, in general, was really hard to write. Especially, I think, in part because we did this was the first one since the first two where we had notes from Andrea coming to us, you know, about the episode. So we had to readjust certain things to go with that.
The power used and...
But yeah, just once I remember I was at my parents' house for a week or so, and I started this. And like just most nights, I just sort of sit there and like look at the screen and like write a line and then delete it and like write a line and then delete it. And I was like, what am I doing? I think once I created the character of Chianti, the whole episode sort of just clicked.
The problem is, friends tell each other things. Secret. Where does the
You know, if we knew it was the bad, you know, the obviously bad guy of Arvati, this scene would be not this. Yeah. Like, the fact that this person might not know stuff.
Well, actually, that reminds me. I remember we debated a lot doing this because it was so... This is by, you know, especially at this point in the series, this was the darkest thing we'd done by a long shot.
Yeah.
We were really afraid that people were going to tune out. We were afraid that people were just going to be like... Oh my god, what the hell? Archon is evil and just but the response on the forums at least just was completely the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, Catherine's overreacting so much. What the heck? Like she's Archon was just doing what she had to do. And we were amazed that you know, I mean, not that we're not happy that, you know, our fan base didn't leave us in droves, but we were
just grossly overestimated the morality.
So thank you for listening to our audio commentary.
The opinions expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of Blue Sky Red Design and Second Ship.
There are those who expect results from me, and I must deliver. Who gets the money?
Postropos.
Paladophai. I could not quite hear you.
Yep. Yeah, so, you know, Mike was right. There was actually a plot hook there.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know? You just couldn't understand the language to follow up on.
What are you going to realize that Mike's always right?
Does greed none
of... Yeah, this was kind of funny. Like I mentioned in the podcast we did for the earlier episodes for 107... There was some retroactive foreshadowing, so to speak. The full Stropos was not. It was just, hey, we've got a name of a character we've dropped, and we've never used this character again, and hey, why not? And I think it adds a whole new... It ties together. It's not just some name we've never heard before. It kind of clicks with people who've been paying a lot of attention to the show. Which is always fun to do.
So what do we do with her? We will place her comfortably in her bed, as if she returned from a trying day of work and went to sleep. We will put this chair back where it belongs, put her groceries away, and in every way we can think of, make it appear that nothing has happened.
Mm-hmm. Khan's a bit of a professional with this. Except without the whole getting paid part. Yeah. Or I suppose getting, you know, if by getting paid, you know, not getting beaten.
Saving that outburst until we are far from here. We must leave as rapidly as possible.
I remember writing the
Archon! Archon, wait up!
Jeske?
What the hell was that?
What?
Do not what me! I just saw you psychologically twisted.
Listen to either one.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
I was only doing what was required, Keith. Once I inform certain people of Falstropos' involvement, the Red Circle will be broken. Zana and everyone in Laundi will be freed of their corrupt grasp.
I'm not asking why you did it, I'm asking how you did it. How could you do something like that? Just who are you?
I am exactly who I say I am.
And all that goodwill from earlier episodes is now gone.
I just saw a side of you that I never even imagined to exist. A cruel side that could threaten a defenseless woman with a weapon. And by the way, you did lie to me at least twice today.
Twice?
You brought a weapon after saying you would not, and you slapped that woman after telling me you would not hurt her. Not to mention using that...
Slapping doesn't count.
It was a love pat.
Overreacting.
I am your friend, and you are mine.
Friends do not lie to each other, Archon.
How can you be so blind? Of course they do. They lie to each other all the time, and for many different reasons.
She's not a cynic.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
For good purposes? That is just apologetic bull. I thought you were beyond
things like that, Archon. Cave, shut it, Archon. I am going back to Zanna's, and I hope you do not plan on following me. And if you know what's good for you, you won't try to talk to me for a while.
But...
Oh, and don't worry about today. I'll keep your secrets for now. I am a person who keeps her word. But I want you to know that you've lost my trust.
Cave?
No, we're finished. Okay, I'll see...
Cave was a little more... A little less honest, you know. Perhaps the season would have ended differently. But
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If Catherine just turned Archon in.
Yeah. Again, I think this is all. You know, this is we're trying to make an ensemble show here, so every character's actions have had some effect on things.
Just...
Because could have been very easily turned into, you know, Shauna's hero quest journey.
You
know.
Require that? I simply did not expect you.
Sure, changing clothes or something.
Yes.
Cool. Well, anyway, if you don't mind, I think I'm just going to head to bed early. It's been a long day.
I understand. It has also been a long day for me.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do?
Just around. You know, hit up some old friends.
I couldn't tell you. Mike and Fesmer got into a fight with some university students, and so we left before the game finished.
Are they Rana?
Fesmer's fine, and Mike's Mike. But I think he's going to be okay.
That is fair tidings.
Yeah. Well, good night, Archon. I took your suggestion to lead off the Hojin today. This might be the night I finally get some real sleep.
Let us hope. Sleep well.
Amen to that.
Is this the...
This is the first herald.
Here we go.
Hello? Someone in here?
No creepy music.
Oh my god, something's at the foot of my bed! Archon! Archon!
Shauna Brown! We are watching you. And we are pleased.
Archon! Archon, help!
Wake
help!
Up, Shay!
Help! Something's
you were
there!
Dreaming.
Archon!
It is only an ill...
I don't know, I just think it's more, actually a little more interesting, given that I voice both Archon and the Harpy, but it goes right from one to the other.
Yeah.
That's great.
The parallel, the sort of meta parallelism there.
Oh my god, it was awful, Archon. I remember now, the nightmares I've been having, it's been the same nightmare over and over. It's coming for me, no, it's real, it's coming for me.
You are so Luna. I know that you can trust me, Shay.
Friends tell each other to
tell me everything. Yeah, that's at least, what, three counts of trust me?
Yeah.
Possibly missed, I feel like there might have been one in the market when we were just talking over.
Sky Red Entertainment, episode 8.
Trust is really the central thing in here, you know?
Yep.
The director of this episode is Brandon Crose. The voice talent includes the following: Becky Davis as Sean. Gist as Catherine, Mike Hunter as Mike, Julia Lunetta as Archon, Christina Milutowicz as Zanna, Andrew Schwartz as Fesmer, Brad Smith as Jareth, and Paul Harrington as Targonane, with additional voices provided by Christina Milutowicz, Paul...
That's right, this is before we started doing...
The audio podcast was edited by the cast...
Yep.
Because there were still not that many extra people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was actually Christina playing Chianti.
Yeah, this was the...
Both this episode and next season.
Oh, yeah. Not the most episode. Yeah, you know, I think 107 will probably have the same amount of extras.
Bloopers!
What the hell is a pain stick? Just what it sounds like, a stick that causes pain. Are you deaf?
We're laughing at ourselves. Laughing, it's meta.
Yeah, making Lexi cry was always fun.